Hallelujah. Lift up the Lord in this place.
One, praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, and certainly good to be here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church, St. Louis. Pastor and Sister Williford, you're one of the leading churches of our fellowship, and I am thankful for the opportunity to tell you personally, we appreciate your prayers, your support of missions, everything you do, and being here locally. Some of you are employed at headquarters, or you over the years have been associated in many ways with the things we're doing. Of course, your pastor has been an important part of our fellowship, the general board, right now the executive board, serving in the Missouri district in many capacities over many years. And I appreciate all that you're doing. And I want you to know that your labor is not in vain. You can see many things that God is doing, but there are a lot of things that you can't see. And I'm happy to tell you that God has blessed our fellowship over the years. Our mission is the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. And we're seeing that accomplished. There are 210 nations of the world as identified by the Population Reference Bureau, and we are now in 198 out of 210. Praise God. Plus, I think it is 34 territories. So God has just expanded our ministry around the world. We now have over 42,000 churches, daughter works, and preaching points around the world, 41,000 credentialed ministers, over 5 million constituents. Here in the U.S. and Canada, which is our home base, 4,883 churches, daughter works, preaching points. That's as of August 1st, 10,725 credentialed ministers. So God is blessing our efforts. We're growing, we're having revival, and although this is an unusual year in many ways, I don't have to tell you that, but medical crisis, then that led to economic crisis, and that's led to political crisis. And then if that weren't enough, and I'll just say this, as a church, we don't tell people how to vote, but I do believe, number one, you should register to vote if you haven't. Number two, you should vote. That's part of what we, that's our responsibility in a democracy. And that means you should inform yourselves of the candidates locally, state, nationally. What do they believe? What do they stand for? How do they relate to our Christian values? And I will tell you, first and foremost is religious freedom. If out in California, the governor, when all this happened, when he started relaxing the restrictions, he said marijuana dispensaries could open up because they're essential to mental health. Liquor stores could open up because they're essential to mental health. Hollywood studios could resume business because they're essential to economic health. Other businesses could open up, and he had the guidelines of, you know, how many people, but he said churches are not essential, so they could only have 10 people. So even though other businesses of the same kind were allowed to resume full or very greatly enhanced operations, he was trying to prohibit churches absolutely. And it's only because of a lawsuit by one of our churches and others that he even relaxed that. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, but he relaxed it before that so the court wouldn't have to take action. Now, that's real in America. Well, we want people in authority that will respect us. We may not agree with everything they believe, and they might agree with us, but we want our rights of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and as much as possible, we want to influence our country in basic. Now we're fighting over it because here's the thing. There's been on top of all this, as you know, social crisis, racial tensions, and to be quite honest, there have been some real injustices that need to be addressed. And we as the church, we stand for righteousness, holiness, justice, truth. So we're going to stand against racism. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to stand for doing things right. Isn't that true? But then it seems like there's certain elements with a very radical socialist agenda that want to take advantage of the turmoil to overthrow our way of life. Well, we believe in economic freedom as well. And so we've got to stand for the values that made our nation strong. We're not a perfect nation, but we have been the freest nation in the world because we started on a trajectory, and we need to maintain what God has blessed us with. So I'm just throwing that in for free. That doesn't cost anything. So in the midst of all this, the church has to be the church. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever goes right, whatever goes wrong, the church is still going to preach. Jesus saves. Jesus delivers. What we need is the Holy Ghost. What we need is the power of God. Oh, let's worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the spirit that I feel in this place. No matter where you are, whether you're at home, whether you're in church, whether you're driving down the road, He is with you. And I'm thankful in these times, whether it was last year, 10 years ago, 20 years from now, He is trustworthy. Thankful to be here with you here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. It's a blessing. I'm thankful to be able to come into a church building and worship Him. And I'm going way back on a hymn, and I'm very thankful God gave people years ago these hymns, and we can still sing them. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Do you trust Him? How I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and. Do you believe that? You can trust Him? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace, oh, for grace, oh, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Aren't you thankful you can trust Him this morning? I love you, Jesus. I worship you this morning.
Let's all stand and worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your saving power, your keeping power. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. If you just remain standing for a moment, I want to read from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. The book of Daniel. And as you can probably tell, I'm trying to follow safety protocols. And so after service, I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm not going to hug you, not going to kiss you. So You say, well, don't you trust God? Well, yeah, I trust God, but I have this philosophy. We're supposed to do what we can do, and then God does what we can't do. So, and then, yes, I trust God. But, you know, when I get out and get in my car today, I'm going to put on my seatbelt. What do you mean? You don't trust God? Well, I do, but I'm going to ask him to protect me from getting in a wreck. But if I do get in a wreck, I'm asking him to heal me. But, you know, it's a little easier if I do what I can, then I have a little more faith to say, God, you know, I have been paying my tithes. So when there's an economic crisis, can you help me out? It's not that we can bargain with God. It's just that, well, God would say, well, if you really believe my word, why didn't you do what you could do? You know, I gave you a brain. I gave you ability. I gave you knowledge. I gave you instruction. So you mean you trust me, but you're not doing what I told you to do? That's a little awkward conversation. Then we say, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, you know. And most of the time he will be, but I'd like to do what I can do. So I hope you understand that. I don't think I have COVID-19, but tomorrow, if you get sick, I do not want you to be able to say it was because of Brother Bernard. He's been traveling all over the U.S. and he did it. I want you to know it wasn't me. Whoever it wasn't me. Okay? So I hope you understand that. I said all that one time recently, and a little old lady came up and said, but you can shake my hand. What do you say? Well, I said, I just waved at her. So, okay. So here we are. Daniel is thrown into the den of lions. Most of you know that story. And so in Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, the king comes to the lion's den the next morning. He fears the worst. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? This is the question the world asks today. We preach the gospel, healing, deliverance, salvation, transform life. If you're living an alternative lifestyle, God can actually change your whole life. The world says, no way. Is your God really able of doing that? Is God able? I want to preach the answer. God is able. Amen. God is able. You may be seated. Now, when all this COVID-19 hit, obviously it's changed everything. We don't like it. We're trying to get through it. We're trying to get over it. But you know, it took us all by surprise. None of the experts knew what was coming, but it didn't take God by surprise. He knew what was coming. God always has a plan. No matter what you're going through as individually, a family, or even a church, God has a plan to bring us through. We've got to focus on what God can do, what God wants to do. And I'm preaching Thursday night for the general conference, and I'm going to share some things with you Thursday night. But God gave me a prophecy through one of our preachers a year ago that just about pegs what we're going through right now. So I didn't know what to make of that prophecy a year ago, but now, of course, it fits. So I'll share more about that Thursday night if you tune in. But my point is, God is working behind the scenes. God is able. Never underestimate the power of God to work in your situation. Do not think small, think big, because God is doing something. And so in March and April, when we had to start shutting down most everything, in Latin America, all of our national conferences are in April, usually because that's when people can get off of work around Easter time. And so we had to shut that down. But Brother Mark Dross will be preaching Wednesday night, as you just heard. And some other ministers got together, and they did an online service in Spanish to replace those closed or canceled conferences. And let me tell you the results. There were about 100,000 views and contacts online. From that, 873 people received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And then what we're finding in this time of online service is there are people who've fallen away from the church for whatever reason, and they're a little embarrassed or reluctant to come back to church. but they can go online and God can talk to their hearts and they find an easy pathway back. So in those service, that weekend, 347 people were renewed in the Holy Ghost. 156 sent in testimonies of healing during the service. 122 sent in requests to find a local church to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. If the devil was trying to shut down the church, he miscalculated, because God is able, COVID-19 or no COVID-19, online, in person, or a combination of both, God can still reach the human heart. If God can reach from heaven to earth, then God can reach from this location to your home right now. If you're watching online, it makes no difference to God. Praise God. God is able. So I thought, you know what? In May, we still had a lot of churches closed, or at least on very minimal schedules around the world. And so we decided on the day of Pentecost to produce services in English and in Spanish. And some could join for the service, like a Sunday evening or something, but then some could watch in their homes. Again, we had about 100,000 views, but this time with a focus on Pentecost and receiving the Holy Ghost worldwide, 2,294 people received the Holy Ghost, 163 renewed in the Spirit, 94 healed, 140 baptized in Jesus' name. That's the United Pentecostal Church International. God is able. Praise God. So in our text today, Daniel, he was a young man when he in the tiny nation of Judah, and because of the sins of Judah over many years, God allowed judgment to come. The Babylonians came, conquered that nation, destroyed the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple of God, took Daniel probably as a teenager and a number of his friends away into captivity. It seemed like a terrible end of all of his hopes and dreams. He seemed to be a million miles out of the will of God. Yet, the Babylonians saw the rare qualities of leadership in these young people and began to train them in a special program. But there was a condition. They could succeed in their pagan environment as long as they cooperated with the rules. But Daniel and his friend said, just a minute. There are a lot of things we can do. We're thankful for the opportunity. I'm paraphrasing, of course, or filling in the blanks. But we are Jews. We have a covenant with God. God has made some requirements of us. Now, you Babylonians, God doesn't require that of you. But of us, there are certain things we're not supposed to do. There are certain things we're not supposed to eat. And if we do that, that breaks our covenant. So we want permission to follow God's plan for our lives. And if we do, if you allow us to do that, you'll see we'll be more blessed. And we'll be healthier and stronger. So the Babylonians allowed that. Daniel and his friends prospered. And by this time of the story, Daniel is now an old man, a senior leader in government. And he has a life of service and of God's blessings in a pagan environment. Let me pause to say this. God wants the church to have influence. We need people in every occupation of life in our community. We need construction workers. We need electricians. We need doctors, lawyers, school teachers, even politicians or civil servants, police officers. We need people in every occupation so that we can influence every portion of our society. Sometimes we've had the feeling we've got to stay away from certain prominent positions because, you know, that would be compromised. Here's the thing. God can elevate you to places of influence so that your church can win souls, but also so that you can influence your community. You can change the culture of your surrounding area. But here's the point. Do not compromise. You do not need to and must not compromise who you are. We are apostolics. We're Jesus-named people. We're Spirit-filled people. That means we talk in tongues. We're holiness people. We have guidelines. We believe in sexual morality. We believe in modesty of dress. We believe in gender distinction. Obviously, in our society, many people don't believe that. We respect their rights as citizens. We respect their rights to believe what they want. We're not here to attack, condemn, ridicule, but we are here to stand up for what we believe. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to teach the truth. We're going to live the truth. We are not going to compromise, but God can use you in your own society. You can be a witness on your job or at school, in your neighborhood, without compromising who you are. You say, that's not possible in our society. Let me tell you, God is able. If God could use Daniel in Babylon and later Persia, God can use you in the United States of America, St. Louis, Missouri. Praise God. God is able. So Daniel was a prominent leader known and respected by all. The Persians conquered the Babylonians. He was able to stay in leadership under the new regime. But by this time, he's an old man and he's had many enemies. So there are people trying to investigate him, trying to take him down. They're saying, you know, this guy's too good to be true. He's got to be taking bribes somewhere. He's got to be steering business to his cronies and family. There's just something secret he's doing, because nobody would have this much influence and not use it inappropriately. And they investigate him, but the only thing they could prove on him is he faithfully served God. That's the only thing they could document. So they decided, you know what, if we're going to get him, it's going to have to be something to do with his religion. So they came up with a scheme. They went to the king. They flattered him. The king didn't know what was going on. But they said, oh, king, you're so amazing. You do all things well. You supply all our needs. So please make a decree. And under the law of the Medes and the Persians, once a decree was issued, even the king himself couldn't cancel it. They said, make a decree that for the next 30 days, no one can pray or make a petition of any person or even of any god except for you. Well, that sounded good to the king, so he readily agreed. But the effect was to ban prayer. What did Daniel do when he got the decree? Daniel did what he always did. At the time of prayer, he prayed. Now, I believe we have the right to peacefully demonstrate in American law. But Daniel didn't try to get in the streets with signs and yell and scream and say, you're hateful, this is unjust, I rebuke you, I rebel, I reject society, I reject culture. That wasn't his approach. But neither did he say, okay, I'll just compromise. He didn't do either way. He just continued in his normal commitment. Now, I'll be honest, if I were Daniel, I think I would have been greatly tempted to say, now, Lord, you spent all these years putting me in a high position in government. I know you don't want me to be killed at this point. That would just waste all of your investment. So if I just don't pray for 30 days, surely you'll understand. You know, I won't backslide, but if I'm just, you know, if I just do my own thing, take a vacation from church for 30 days, I'll still be saved, but you just won't hear from me. Or he could have said, now, God, you can read my mind. I'm just going to be giving you silent prayers for the next 30 days. You'll know it. Nobody else will. But no, Daniel was in no mood to let the world box him in. There's got to be something within us that says, you know what? I'm not going to go crazy, so I'm not going to go to Walmart and run up and down the aisle speaking in tongues just to prove I can. But on the other hand, I'm not going to be intimidated. When it's time to pray, I'm going to pray. If it's time to speak in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues. If it's time to run the aisles, I'm going to run the aisles. It's a time to moan and groan in intercessory prayer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let the devil or other people or culture or society intimidate me from worshiping God. We are the Pentecostal. We are Spirit-filled. There is a time to rejoice. There is a time to dance. There is a time to shout. There is a time to testify. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so that was Daniel's spirit. not contentious, not self-righteous, but just, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to serve God. Sure enough, he was arrested, brought before the king. The king was so apologetic, so embarrassed. He didn't realize the intent, and he was just so sad that Daniel would have to be executed. And so he tried to cheer him up. He tried to, you know, he was to blame, but he tried to evade that by saying, you know, your God will deliver you. You'll be fine. Now, he didn't really believe that because in the text, he came weeping. So I don't know what is in his mind. I don't know if he thought, well, you know, when they take him to the den of lions, maybe he'll run away. Maybe, you know, I don't know what he was thinking, but it wasn't really faith. You know, it's what I call positive confession. There are a lot of churches that have actually become mega churches by this idea of positive confession, you know, have a good service, not too much out of line, but, you know, a little bit of Pentecostal stuff. Like the guy that years ago wrote a book, How to Be Pentecostal Without Speaking in Tongues. These Pentecostals are growing like crazy, so we better loosen up, have a little better worship, but obviously we don't want to get carried away. And so you got churches like that. They're going to preach a very positive message. You can do it. You can be successful. You can succeed in life. You know, and that's good as far as it goes. I do think if you have a positive attitude, you're much more likely to accomplish things than if you have a negative attitude. But if you're living for God, there are sometimes you run into a brick wall. And I don't care how positive your attitude is, you're not going through that wall. You'll beat your head and never accomplish anything. What you need is not a positive attitude. You need a miracle. You need the power of God. You need deliverance. And so those churches don't go to the next level intensity. You don't hear a lot of talk about repentance, consecration, commitment, sacrifice, holiness. But if you're going to have a real relationship with God, you got to go beyond the surface, go beyond human ability. You've got to go in the realm of the faith, the miraculous. And there's an intensity of a relationship with God in the pursuit of holiness. And so all the positive statements of the king didn't do any good. Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Now, let me imagine. I don't really know what it was like, but let's say he was thrown in this big pit with rock walls. The lions are at one end. Daniel's thrown the other end. And if I were Daniel, I'm just thinking, man, as those lions start advancing, I'm going to get away. So he's shrinking into the wall. Maybe he tries to clamber up. Maybe he finds a handhold, a foothold. Maybe he can climb up. There's a crack in the rock. Maybe he can kind of wedge himself in, and he's trying to get as high as he can. He's trying to shrink in the wall. He's trying to shrink away. And maybe the lions start attacking. Maybe they claw him, but he's able to hold on. Maybe they bite his foot off, but they can't drag him down. Maybe he hangs on and survives the night. He's in shock, he's cold, he's trembling, he's bleeding. You know, he's got scars or scratches and wounds, but he's able to survive. That would be a miracle. But that's not what happened. The next morning the king comes, oh, Daniel, are you still alive? Is your God able to deliver you? And Daniel says, oh, king, live forever. You're worried about me, I'm worried about you. I'll live as long as God wants me to. You're the ones in danger of having a heart attack and dying. Oh, king, live forever. I'm praying for you. When they pulled Daniel out, the Bible says there was not one scratch on him. He was completely whole. It was a miracle. God is able. I don't care what you're going through, and I'm not saying you'll never be wounded or beaten or battered, but I am saying this. God can bring you out. God can restore you. God can heal you. God can deliver you. You don't have to live as a victim the rest of your life. You don't have to live emotionally and spiritually crippled the rest of your life. You can be healed. You can be restored. You can actually have a new life. You can have a new beginning. I don't discount the reality of human suffering. I'm smart enough to know, and I pastored enough years to know, that in this congregation and those online, there are people that have been abused as children. People have been abused by a spouse. People have gone through horrible divorces and it wasn't their fault. People have gone through cancer and heart attacks and all kinds of diseases. people that would require years of counseling. And I appreciate the counselors. We have many Pentecostal counselors that help people. But what I'm saying is I don't discount the reality of human suffering. And I'm not trivializing this. But I'm saying whatever those situations are, you don't have to be bound by what other people did to you or by what the devil did to you or even by your own bad choices earlier in life. You can step out and enjoy the blessings of God. You said that you're exaggerating. You don't understand. No, I'm saying God is able. You know, there's another story in Daniel. The three young Hebrew men, they wouldn't bow to the idol. They were thrown in a furnace of fire so hot that it killed the people that threw them in. They were bound by ropes as they went in the fire, and then they came out. The Bible says the only thing that was destroyed were the ropes that had bound them. So they were thrown in bound and doomed for death. They came out free. And the Bible specifically says none of their hair was singed, none of their clothing was scorched, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke. You could stand right next to them and you would never know they'd been through the fire. Now, in our pastor, Brother Williford, as I could tell you, we had about 1,000 people in our church all total, if they all would come together, which they never did. But, of course, that's just in Texas. In St. Louis, people are much more faithful. But, you know, I pastor people that had horrendous stories of abuse, sometimes even in church by leaders in various churches or wherever. Just horrible divorces, horrible medical issues. But you know, God delivered them. And they'd come to church, they'd be dressed nice, smile, and the Spirit of God move, and they'd start dancing. And you could almost tell some people kind of look at them. Why is that person jumping around so much? What's wrong with them? When they're going to grow up? You had no idea that last year they went to the most horrible trial of their whole life. You had no idea their childhood was dysfunctional and the church is their only family. You had no idea they're bound by crack cocaine or you would never know. Why? Because God took away even the smell of smoke. And I'd look at those people and I'd say, you can dance all you want to dance. You can run all you want to run. God has delivered you. God has given you a new life. Nobody could even imagine that. Well, that's because God did a miracle. And then there are other people. Maybe they went through something horrendous, and I don't minimize it, but it might have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and they're still very distrustful of any leadership, or they're so angry at all men, or whatever the case may be. And you talk to them just a few minutes, and it doesn't take long. You just feel that bitterness, that anger. And it's not that that the situation wasn't real. It's just they're not able to ever get past that. Well, I've got a word for somebody, whether you're sitting here or you're online. If that's your story, please understand I'm not minimizing the reality of your story. I'm just saying God is able. He can take away the smell of smoke. You don't have to live in bitterness. You don't have to be bound by what somebody did to you. You can take charge of your destiny by God's grace. If you, whatever the bondage or addiction or the lifestyle, you do not have to be trapped in something that's against God's will. You can have a new beginning. You can have a new start. You can have a new life because God is able. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is able. I have one more verse of scripture. It's Ephesians 3:20. The apostle Paul is in jail. The great apostle to the Gentiles. He's cooped up in jail. Surely that can't be the will of God. You know, some of you will enjoy this, but when I used to work at headquarters before, back in the 80s, as associate editor, I was a lot younger than I am now, but I developed a ministry. I started writing books and teaching. And so I was invited to go behind the Iron Curtain, Eastern Europe. At that time was communist. We couldn't have open meetings, but we could have secret home meetings, and we could do training for ministers. And so because of the nature of my ministry, I had opportunities to go back and hold those meetings. So Brother Sism, who was our foreign missions director at the time, now it's called Global Missions, he came up to me in the office and says, "Brother Bernard, it's wonderful that you're going to these communist countries. It's so wonderful that you have a ministry like the Apostle Paul." Wow. So then he said, it's just like the Apostle Paul. If you go back there and they arrest you and put you in jail, you can just keep writing, just like the Apostle Paul. Oh, thank you. Of course, my wife didn't appreciate that. So here's the great Apostle Paul. His ministry is completely shut down. But he begins to write. Now, the Bible tells us he used scribes. So I imagine he's pacing back and forth in his cell, because he is a Pentecostal preacher. So he's probably gets a little enthusiastic. And it's anointed by the Holy Ghost. So he's dictating to a scribe in Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him that is able." He's not thinking of all the limitations. He's telling those people, "I might be in jail, but God can still work." "Now to him that is able to do," an active God, not just a passive God, not just a theoretical God, but a God who can do things. But then Paul wants to explain, I'm not just talking about some things. He's able to do exceeding. And then I think there's an anointing in the apostles, says, but it's more than exceeding. Give me another word. What else? He's able to do exceeding abundantly. That's more like it. That's getting there. But still, God is bigger than that. God is bigger than exceeding abundant. So is there another word? Exceeding abundantly. Above. But I don't want to say more than that. Come on, I need more than that. Exceeding abundantly above all. He used six words to describe God's action. Able, do, exceeding, abundantly, above, all. You get the idea? Paul is trying to pile superlatives upon superlatives. He's trying to ransack the language, get the dictionary and thesaurus out for any extra word to convey what God is able to do. And then he says, above all, that you ask or think. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we go to God with kind of like our grocery list. "Now, God, if you'll give me a raise on the job, I can take care of all my problems. Lord, if you'll change the attitude of my husband or wife, then I could take it from there. Lord, if you'll get this person to do that, I'll be fine." But sometimes we don't even know what to tell God to do. It's COVID-19. "God, I don't know how to fix this. God, my life is so messed up, I don't even know what to tell you to do." But the good news is, that's all right. Even if you don't know what to do, God can do more than you ask or think. In vernacular English, God can blow your mind. Just stand back and let God be God. But then here's the good part of the verse. "According to the power that works in us." That's why it doesn't really, we all want to be here together, and we need to be. But if you're online, God can work in your home. If you have the Holy Ghost, God can work in you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can repent of your sins, surrender to God. In a few minutes, right in your home, you can be speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. The power of God is here in the sanctuary. And it's here wherever someone will believe what I'm saying. Let's stand together. Now, I know we have social distancing and all that stuff, so I'm asking, obviously, just follow the guidelines and be safe. But you know what? Let's not limit God. I can raise my hand. I don't have to physically touch your forehead. After all, there's no power in my hands anyway. But if God can bridge the gap from heaven, wherever that is, to earth, he can bridge the gap from where I'm standing to where you're standing. So I want us to reach out and touch the Lord. And if you're at home, I want you to do something. Stand, raise your hands, do something. But if you have a need in your life, I want you to call upon God and say, Lord. And if you know there's something in your life that's not right, you always start with repentance, right? You always start saying, God, forgive me. God, help me. I surrender. If you never received the Holy Spirit, you start with that. But once you fully surrendered, once you fully confessed, then you need to speak out with your lips. Don't clam up and close up, but you start praising verbally, vocally, and the Spirit of God will fall and he'll take control of your tongue. You'll start speaking in words of a different language. Now, many of you, most of you probably have received the Holy Ghost. But if there's an urgent need in your life or in a loved one's life, it's the same approach. Lord, here I am. Not bragging, boasting. It's not what I've done. It's what you've done. I surrender to you. Forgive me of my own failures, but help me to fulfill your will. Lord, I need healing today. Lord, I'm still wrestling over a situation that happened 5 years ago. I need peace of mind. Lord, my wife or my husband needs deliverance. Lord, my children need to hear from you right now. If you'll start praying, God will start moving. God is able. I don't care what the situation. God is working. God is ministering. Church, let's get desperate. Let's get hungry and thirsty. Let's call on the Lord because God is able.
Respond to that right now across this place. If you need anything from him, he's able to do it today before you leave. Would you just stretch a hand to heaven all across the sanctuary and reach out in faith, whatever faith you can muster today, God will respond to it. Oh, as we sing in just a moment, let's reach out to heaven in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're able. You're able.